The podcast, Czech German Perspectives, is brought to you by the Czech German Young Professionals Program. To find out more about the program and to listen to the other episodes, go to cgypp.eu. Czechs and Germans have a lot in common, shared culture, traditions, or naturally the love for beer. How similar or different are we when it comes to our health, and more precisely health impacted by our diets? We will cover this fascinating topic with Eliška Selinger, a nutritional epidemiologist from the 3rd Medical Faculty of the Charles University in Prague, who is our guest today. Eliška, you are a nutritional epidemiologist. I assume that many people will wonder, what exactly does that mean?
So to answer that question, we should start maybe with a different question, which has surprising answer for many people, and that is, what actually is epidemiology? Because many people think epidemiology is a science about epidemics, but that's not actually true. Epidemiology is a basics of medical science. It's a science about how to conduct medical research, how to design the studies, so they answer the question we actually have, and how to interpret the studies we have in our hands to correctly understand what the results are meaning. So basically, epidemiologists are thinking a lot about how to investigate the relationships between different factors and different diseases. And we have many, many kinds of epidemiology. Not only communicable disease epidemiology, but also non-communicable disease epidemiology. For example, cancer epidemiology, which is a field which is investigating the factors which can increase or decrease our risk of cancer. There is psychiatric epidemiology, which investigates factors, again, which are influencing our risk of mental disorders. Very interesting is sociological epidemiology or economical epidemiology, which are sort of interested in the socio-economical factors behind our health. And finally, nutritional epidemiology, which is basically science about the relationship between what we eat and our health. So basically how our diet can influence the risk of our disease.
You have been involved in several research projects on specific aspects of Czech eating habits and the health of the Czech population. What are some main patterns you would pinpoint?
In general, the issue with Czech Republic is that there is scarcity of data. So for us, workers in public health specialists, analysts, and so on, it's quite hard to understand exactly what is going on. But from what we see and what we know, it seems that the Czech diet is very, very unhealthy. We, for example, know, according to available estimates, that unhealthy diet is somehow related or responsible for over 20% of preventable death, which is actually more than cigarettes are and way more than physical inactivity is, according to the same estimate. We also know that according to the Eurostat data, around half of Czech population is reporting that they are not eating any fruit or vegetables per day, like zero portions per day, which is very, very low. So, and also according to this or in line with these statistics, we know that significant proportion of Czech population is overweight or obese, which are also conditions which are very, very tightly related to unhealthy diet and general lifestyle. So despite scarcity of data, we know that there is lots to improve in Czech diet to improve the health of Czech population.
That sounds terrible. But this whole program is about Czechs and Germans, and we naturally share a lot of in common. I would be interested in if this is also the same for the diet and the impact of the diet on our health in both countries.
Well, diet may be the popularity of cabbage in the traditional dishes, but otherwise it seems no. Like, as I said, we have sort of issue with scarcity of data, so it's very, very hard to judge. But from what we know, according to the same survey on fruit and vegetable consumption, in Germany, over 10% of people are reporting that they rarely eat more than 5 portions of fruit and vegetable per day, which is the recommended amount, and it's actually quite close to the EU average, while in Czechia that proportion is way, way below 10%. So we are actually on the other side of the comparison. Again, we can see that the Czech diet is actually probably worse. And in line with this, proportion of overweight or obese people in German population should be around 54%, which is obviously way worse than it should be in ideal place and time. But at the same time, it's very close to the EU average of 53%. Well, in Czech Republic, we have this same proportion around 60%, which is one of the top proportion in the whole EU region. So Czechs are worse in the diet and accompanied statistics and indicators.
That's quite surprising. How is it possible that we are so different?
That's a very good question. And to answer that, we probably would need way more than a few minutes of the podcast. But there are some, let's say, markers we can use to see the potential source. And I would say that the main source maybe could be approach towards promotion of healthy diet, or more specifically, public health approach. We think that diet is only our personal choice. It's only about our personal decisions and habits. But according to the latest research and current trends and agreement in the field, that's not entirely true. Obviously, we are deciding what we buy as food, or what we eat, what we like or don't like. But that habits we have are very, very strongly influenced by many external factors, like family habits, what we consider normal in our social circles. It can be also influenced by our culture. It can be influenced by our economical situation. Very obviously, if we don't have money, we need to select the food by different measures than healthiness, which in contrast can be our main priority when we don't have to think about how we spend our wage per month. And all of these factors, which are very, very obviously influencing what we eat, can be also influenced by policy. So we have a wide range of policy options which we can use as a state to support our healthy diet of our population. And actually this year there was scientific evaluation of how these policies options are used by European states, if they really use all of these options they have, how much they use them, and so on. This sort of evaluation was conducted by World Cancer Research Fund, which is a scientific organization focused on prevention, and they developed a benchmarking tool which was able to evaluate the state policies and compare the states in between each other. To do that, they had to divide the available policies into 10 areas, and for every area they set up specific targets, specific conditions for which the state can receive points, let's say, and if they receive enough points, then you can make a conclusion if the state has some policy which is in this category, and if the state has. You can also evaluate how much that category of policy is used. So basically what happened, that this sort of comparison was run on all European countries, and thanks to that we can now look how they are using the tools they have to promote and protect the health of their citizens.
That sounds like an interesting source of information. So what do you have actually learned from the survey? If you want to learn more about the results, join us after the break.
That's actually when the story began to be interesting, because, as I said, the benchmarking research divide the available policy option into 10 areas and evaluate every country in every area. So what we have learned is that in Germany, they have some sort of policies in 7 out of 10 of categories, while in Czech Republic is only 6 out of 10. The difference maybe doesn't seem so strong, but when we look also on the details of the evaluation, the story, I think, begins to unravel. Because in Germany, for example, one category of policy is evaluated as good, 3 are moderate, 2 poor, and in 3 they do not have any policy identified. Well, in Czech Republic, we don't have any category which will be evaluated as good, like 0 of them. We have only 1 moderate, again, compared to 3 moderate in Germany. And we have actually 4 categories in which we don't have any policy applied currently. So what we can say in shortness is that Germany is not only using the tools more than Czechia, but also that Germany is using them better. And that, I think, is part, very, very important part of the story when we are asking how it happens the German diet is so different from the Czech diet.
That might give us some indications, but I would say it sounds also very general. Can you be a bit more specific?
Definitely, yeah. So, for example, we can look very specifically on what Germans are doing better than Czechs. And the one category for which Germany is evaluated as good is actually informational campaigns. I think that we have seen pretty clearly during the COVID period that Czech public health informational campaigns are actually not our biggest strength as a country. But also even in the moderate categories, there is one very interesting trend. And the thing is that the only category in which Czechia was rated as moderate is a restriction of some nutrients. And it basically means that we apply the European Union law on restricting trans fats in the food, which Germans also did. But what they also did in Germany, and we didn't do that in Czechia, was actually introduction of front of package labels. So basically better informing of consumers on nutrient content of the food they can buy and giving them the ability to compare the different products which are on the shelves. And how that happened is that in previous years, there was very heated and very emotional, I would almost say, discussion on the introduction on front of package label Nutri-Score. And the difference is that the Germans decided to follow the best evidence, and they basically applied Nutri-Score on their packages. They supported Nutri-Score, and therefore they basically improved the application of policies in this area. In the contrast, Czechia decided to sort of ignore the overwhelming evidence on the fact that Nutri-Score is helping the consumers to select the more nutritious food in the given category. And that's why we just don't have any policy in this subcategory, and therefore no points, and therefore worse food environment in general.
Sounds like something that might make a difference. What are some other measures that can help to improve the population's diet?
Other interesting measures are, for example, economical tools, which can contain, like, for example, taxation of unhealthy food, or in contrary, subsidies on the healthy food, for example, on fruit and vegetables. It can be also regulation of advertising, especially advertising targeting children, or actually nutritional education and building up on nutritional skills in the population through school education, targeting courses, and last but not least, definitely the availability of nutritional counseling inside healthcare system. So people who are in need of nutritional counseling can easily access professional help. For example, in Ireland, they have very interesting, or I think it's in Ireland, they have a very interesting program that every pregnant woman in Ireland has a free nutritional counseling session with dietitian. And the dietitian explained to the new coming mother on how the diet should look like, what is the proper food she should buy for her as well for her children. And through this program, they ensure that all mothers have all the information they need and they can access some professional support. And therefore, they are hopefully teaching better dietary habits also to their children since the early age.
And that's all for today. You listened to an interview with Eliška Selinger from the 3rd Medical Faculty at the Charles University in Prague. This podcast has been brought to you by Václav Kopecký and the Czech-German Young Professionals Program. To find out more about it, don't hesitate to visit cgypp.eu.